Welcome to the Jones Zone, a podcast by Daryl and JJ Jones, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. Your host, Daryl Jones, a top Orange County real estate agent, has been supporting homeowners for over 30 years. He is here to share his tips and advice, as well as insights from industry experts to help you take your real estate game to the next level. Now, here's your host, Daryl Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Jones Zone. Today, we're blessed with the presence of Stephan Claus. He's the president of Angela's Waterproofing and Restoration. So I thought this was definitely had something to do with real estate, especially after all the rains that we've been involved in here this last few years. So Stephan, tell us a little bit about yourself. What's the name of your company? Where are you guys located?
Hey, Daryl. Thanks for having me. My first time doing a podcast, so I might be a little nervous, but any case, Angela's Waterproofing and Restorations has been in business for about 41 years. We're one of the oldest waterproofing restoration companies in California. Myself, I started off in the manufacturing field, producing urethanes and polysulfides, epoxies, and so on. About 14 years ago, my business partner, Sean Geiger, and I bought the company off of the Peltiers and been growing the business ever since.
Awesome. Awesome. And you were telling me your dad was in the business as well.
Yeah, he was actually in the manufacturing of construction chemicals, as they called it back then.
All right.
And he was one of the, you know, pioneers in California. But the big boys, you know, it's hard to compete against W.R. Grace and Sika and Tremco and all these big guys that are multi-billion dollar companies.
Well, tell our listeners and myself exactly what do you do? I mean, I know what you do, but explain it to the audience.
Well, actually, we work on both new construction and retrofit. One side is basically waterproofing commercial buildings, whether it be hospitals, universities, or schools, things like that. Mixed retail facilities up and down the coast. You know, we started off here in Orange County. We opened up an office in San Diego, and we're looking at opening up an office in San Antonio, believe it or not. But we've done work up in Washington, Oregon. Currently, we're in Hawaii.
And you just go and you waterproof the property. Because just because they build it doesn't mean it's waterproofed? How does that work?
Yeah, you need to protect your investment or the structure. So a lot of times, jobs will be specified and we'll get an invitation to bid on the project. So we're competing against dozens of other people. And if we're lucky to win the job, then we'll proceed and, you know, procure materials and get a crew going and start our scope of work. It might be one scope. It might be 10 scopes.
So, for example, where we're at now, this strip mall was built, and after it's built, forgive my ignorance on the topic, but the builders, it's not automatically waterproof. Does every building get somewhat waterproof? Am I making sense at all?
Like waterproofing, obviously you can't just have plywood on your roof protecting your inside structure. So it's got to be protected with whether it be a hot asphalt or a single ply roofing or shingle roofing or a liquid applied membrane. This is an older building, so it probably has an old hot mop system. Probably been re-roofed once or twice in its life, I'm sure.
So you don't do actual roofing?
We actually do single-ply roofing and roof coating and roof maintenance. So if you had a cap sheet roof up there, and you had some leaks, and you don't want to spend the money to tear it off and redo it, we can actually put either an acrylic or a silicone roof coating on it, and that'll sustain your life for another 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. So extend the life of the roof now. And then you also, so there's roofs, that's your one of your primary, locations where you do your work. And then there's also the ground.
Then you have, we're one of the few that do a complete envelope of a building, which is roofs, walls, windows, decks, mezzanines, below grade, and even under slab. So you're completely waterproofing it from top to bottom. Some people just do roofing and that's it.
All right. So tell it, what is the most common issue that you see?
Most common issue I see or hear is below grade waterproofing issues. You got subterranean parking garages or planter boxes. They always tend to leak because if you have poor drainage behind the walls or inside the planters, it builds up and eventually it comes out of a joint or a crack. And that's probably the most common problem
and
we get.
With your experience, you kind of know if someone calls you, you kind of know exactly where to go to.
Yeah, right away, I already have a good idea. But it's always good to actually go out to the job site, visit outside the wall and inside the wall if possible to see if there's structural damage by cracking or something like that.
And I'm guessing then they typically will point out the evidence of the leak and then you take it from there?
Yeah, a lot of times you'll see it with the white efflorescence on the ceilings. It's probably been leaking for a few years and they finally say enough's enough. We need to call somebody out here. We've been trying to patch it with our handyman for so many years that now we need a professional.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine that talked that I thought was interesting. He was in the leak detection. This was years ago. But I thought was kind of interesting, and I think maybe not everybody realizes that oftentimes the evidence of the leak is over here, but the actual leak is 30 feet away.
That is 100% correct. It can travel depending on the condition up above. If it's under tile waterproofing, it can enter on the north side and then exit on the south side down below. So a lot of times you have no choice but to demo the whole deck and do it right.
Wow, wow. And are there any technologies or detectors that you use, a moisture detector and things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we have a company that we partner up with, Axis Consulting. They do a lot of testing. They do electronic spark tests. They do infrared testing to see where the moisture problems are actually coming into the structure.
Oh, so you can get really accurate.
Oh, yes.
You can pinpoint exactly. You don't have to rely on the human eye.
Yep, that's correct.
That must be hugely helpful.
Yes, it is.
And then though you guys don't deal with mold, but you recommend that, hey, it looks like you may have mold. How's that part? Does
you
that
know,
ever come up?
Yeah, that's true. We do not get involved in the mold remediation. That's just not our expertise. And I don't know if our insurance would allow us to do it because it is a very highly sensitive issue. But a lot of times we'll refer them to a mold abatement company. They'll go in there and fix it. And then once the structure is clean and they need some coatings or waterproofing on it, then they'll call us out.
So, and then, so any house or building, they all can be waterproof.
That's correct. Whether it be a commercial or residential, they can be waterproof. They need to.
And in California, even though we don't have a lot of rain, it's still an issue.
Well, you still have your thermal cycle shocks. You know, you got the hot and the cold, the hot and dry, humidity, wind. I mean, you got UV rays. I mean, everything is tearing apart most components of a building.
And speaking of the components of the building, what usually fails when there's a leak? Is it the epoxy or what is it?
There's so many different materials used for roofing and siding. You know, they've gone from wood to now, you know, because wood you have to maintain and keep it painted. Now they go to vinyl and they have their own issues. Then they got these hardy backer boards that are composites made of sawdust, basically.
Oh, yeah.
But in the Midwest, when you use stone and brick, there really is no maintenance. It's just, it lasts forever.
So painting actually is, there's a practical and utility for painting besides the cosmetics. It's actually protecting the wood. I think it's important for the listeners to know that painting is.
Yep, that is correct. Caulking and painting will seal, you know, any water from getting into your building. Now, paint is maybe 2 millimeters thick, or not millimeter, 2 mils thick, less than the page, piece of paper you're holding. But you can go with an elastomeric coating, which is much heavier duty, 30 mils in thickness.
And that's on top of the
flexible. Yeah, instead of painting. Okay. Some people just paint because it's cheap. But if you want to waterproof your stucco building, it has cracks and you got water leaking through it all the time, then you go with an elastomeric coating, which is 10 times thicker, way more elastomeric and flexible, and actually stops water from coming in. And that'll last you a good 15 years.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And they come in different colors. You use it instead of
paint.
You can
have it tinted whatever color you want.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So what is the most common issue? Is there something that rises to the top that you see more than most other issues?
It depends. If it's a balcony deck, the most common issue is they don't keep it clean or maintained, and they don't reseal it every 8 to 10 years.
They wait
till it to fail, and then they call you and say, hey, can you fix this? And now it's a complete replacement.
So balconies is your problem area, roofs.
And windows.
Windows.
Yep, you get a lot of, because you have a stucco wall and you have a metal mullion and you got glass and they all expand and contract at different rates. And eventually that sealant's going to wear out or the gaskets will wear out and they got to be sealed. And they got to be sealed probably every 10 to 15 years to keep the water out.
Okay, so when you talked about the, you know, I naively said there's no rain, but there's a lot more elements that affect leaking or can increase the chances of leaking. A lot of them is just the change of temperature.
Yeah. You know, and even high humidity, you know, will cause things to, you know, you go outside sometimes and you say it didn't rain, but it looks like it's wet out there. Well, it's, you know, high humidity that day.
Okay. So you come out on new structures and then also when there's an issue. So walk me through a new structure. How would you handle a, a new strip mall, and you do big stuff. You're not typically doing little houses. You'll do whole condo complexes, or tell me more.
I mean, we can never say no. We actually will do very large jobs, and we also like to help out somebody else that has like a small issue. I mean, we've done jobs as small as $3,000, and our biggest job is over $10
million. Wow.
But we want to keep our reputation up by being a service company and help them out. But as far as what we would do, it depends. If it's a balcony deck and they want it waterproof, we can show them an acrylic system, we can show them an epoxy system, or show them a polyurethane system, and then give them price options for all three, and then let them choose on colors, textures, and things like that.
Wow, $10 million job. What was that?
Well, right now we got a $10 million job at LAX, redoing all the brand new terminals out there. American Airlines, Alaska, and soon to be Southwest. And then we have another large one in Honolulu for Amazon.
All right.
Yeah. So that's it's a fun job, but it's tricky with the weather there because of the, you know, unpredictable, it's going to rain tomorrow type thing.
Yeah, my daughter went to University of Hawaii, and that's, in fact, I even did a podcast for people that are considering moving to Hawaii. And that's the one thing, is that if it's raining, don't worry, in around 15 minutes, it will be sunny.
That is true.
It changes a lot. So, and then you guys, I'm guessing there's a warranty, et cetera.
Yeah. Usually an applicator like ourselves will give a 1 or 2 year labor warranty. And then the manufacturer will do a 5, a 10, and sometimes a 20 year warranty if it's a single ply roofing, for instance.
Okay. And is there a roof that you tend to like that leaks less than other types of roofs? And on that note, which roof tends to leak the most?
Well, actually, flat roofs, you know, like on a warehouse, they use cheap materials when they build these facilities, like, say, a Home Depot or a Target or something like that. They're large, but they also just have plywood and maybe a little hot mop on there with a cap sheet. Those tend to have problems and leak. But when you go to single ply roofing, you can go right over it. And if you want to insulate it, you can insulate it with an R15, an R30 value, whatever you need. And it's pretty simple, pretty easy. It's no smell, no delays. It's just like rolling carpet almost sometimes.
And is this something that someone could do themselves?
No, that one you cannot do yourself.
Yeah, it's like changing, rebuilding an engine. I guess you could, but good luck on it working.
Yeah, like at LAX, we're doing the rolled roofing out there, and we have 25 people out there.
Wow. So are there any precautions that you need to take when doing remediation and restoration? Is there a difference between remediation and restoration? Are those the same?
I think to me they're the same. You're trying to restore the structure back to its original integrity and protect it. You know, repair and protect is our motto. But just follow the manufacturer's written instructions. If there's a consultant involved, make sure that, you know, you follow his recommendations, because he's watching your every move as you're putting it down.
So you talked about the cost. It's really impossible to answer because it's so unique to each job, fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, on a balcony deck, I mean, you can have a brand new deck go anywhere from $10 a square foot up to $30 a square foot. If it's just a reseal over an existing deck, it could be $5 to $10. So it's something they should get in the habit of doing every 8 to 10 years, you know.
So just if you have a building, you just need to have it checked. And you talked about every 8 to 10 years. That's having you come out there, your company come out there, correct?
Yeah, myself, or if they're going to just paint it, there's 100 painters out there. But people like Disneyland, for instance, or Kaiser Hospital, they religiously will recoat an area or re-caulk an area or re-roof an area, even though they don't really need to, but they have it budgeted for the last 10 years. So they're going to tear it all off and redo it and then not worry about it for the next 10 years.
Wow. And that must be, how long are these jobs, like the LAX job? How many months or weeks or years is that going to last?
Yeah, well, we've been out there probably for a good 2-3 years, only because they keep giving us new sections of a new terminal because they really like us. And Hensel Phelps is the general contractor out there, and they're a great partner to work with. And we just keep rolling from one terminal to the next. And there's, I think, several more to come, which I'm not allowed to say it right now, but. Right.
That's good job security. Well, I heard, I didn't realize, well, a few years back, I had heard about how, for example, the Golden Gate Bridge is constantly being painted. Once they get finished, it's ready to be painted again. So literally, I don't know if that's true or not. I like to give facts that are not true here. I guess that wouldn't be a fact. But anyway,
I've heard that same thing before. You know, by the time they're done, they're starting again. So that's that big of a job.
So the key takeaway on this is it would be really important to have you come out every 8 to 10 years and just give it a once over. I mean, you do inspections, correct? If there's not a problem, or how's that work?
Well, actually, I probably should back up a little bit. If anybody has a property, they should do annual inspections on their roofs, their walls, their drainage, their planters, whatever. Every year, just take a look, see if anything's going on.
And describe an inspection. You're just thinking a visual look over.
A visual look over. Make sure it hasn't been damaged. You know, sometimes a deck coating or a parking structure, somebody will damage it with either a barbecue or a sharp pallet that cut through it. And, you know, they don't touch it for the next year or two, and water can infiltrate underneath there and cause a large damage to the facility. So it's always best to catch it as soon as you can.
Sure. And then, so do you do that too, or you suggest the client does it, and if they see something, call you?
Exactly.
But you don't do necessarily visual, unless they notice water intrusion, obviously.
Yeah. And certain manufacturers call it out in their warranty. If you don't maintain it or you don't call us for the annual inspections, then the warranty's void.
When you say manufacturers of what?
Forgive me. Of the coating or the roofing product or the sealant.
Okay. They'll have a suggested.
Yeah.
Time period to review.
And some of the property management companies that manage a property, they have it in their system to inspect at certain days.
Okay, so we were talking beforehand about a couple of really neat jobs you had. You mentioned one with the Hearst Castle.
Yes.
Right? What happened there?
The Hearst Castle, they got the famous, I think it's called the Neptune Pool or something like that. That's famous. They were leaking approximately 5,000 gallons of water a day. For years.
And when you say leaking, through the plumbing?
Just leaking into the ground and into the earth. So they had to keep filling it up. And, you know, it's expensive. And
the pool was, forgive
me. The pool itself.
Got it.
So they were losing their water. So basically, there was a bid request to come out to fix it. And we were one of the bidders that were successful. And it was a very unique project because it's historical. You know, the Randall Hearst built this castle and this giant pool, and I guess they had to remove all the tile first off of the pool shell, get down to the underneath cement, and then fix cracks and spalls and do injection work both underneath the pool shell and inside the pool shell. So it was very delicate. It took probably maybe 3, 4, 5 months of work up there, but that's the same time they had the big fires up there. And they had to evacuate everybody in San Simeon because the fires were coming down. They have animals on the property. They were carrying them away. They told us to go away for about 3 weeks with this pool that was half being restored. They had to also find the original mine back east for the original tile. If you break one, it has to be the same one.
That's the Hearst policy.
The Hearst policy, the state of California, because it's a historical society now. So they found the mine, basically, that made the original tile for them, and they were able to bring out about 100 pieces just in case.
When was that? Do you recall when that was built? Was that the 20s?
I believe it was.
Okay.
Yeah. But we restored this probably, it's been about 3, 4 years ago. They filled it up with water, and they had zero leaks.
Oh, you must have been a proud papa.
Yeah, we asked if we can jump in there for a photo op and said, absolutely.
Now, do you everything, or did you have a subcontractor come out and take the tile off?
Actually, we were a subcontractor to the general contractor who was doing the demo and removal. We were just doing waterproofing.
You're highly specialized.
Yes. So we are a specialty contractor.
Now, and you had another interesting place that you worked on. What was that?
That was the L.A. Coliseum, right?
Oh,
here
the
in Los
Coliseum.
Angeles.
Yep. Awesome. The L.A. Coliseum. Tell us about that one.
That's another old structure.
Yeah.
That needed some TLC. Basically, I think USC just purchased the property from the city of Los Angeles for all their football games. And they were doing, Hathaway Dinwiddie was doing a restoration, putting a new press box up there, new seating. But they were only doing half the stadium, and it kind of looked odd. So eventually they got a change order to replace all the seats in the whole stadium. And at the same time, all the stairs and walkways and balconies were deteriorated concrete, needed to be fixed. So we were lucky enough to go out and do a demo with 5 other competitors of ours, and they actually picked us. because we were, you know, fast, clean, organized, and it looked the best. So with Angeles Waterproofing, we picked Sika traffic coating. That's a polyurethane that's made here in the United States. So we fixed all the cracks, all the concrete spalls, and we coated the whole bleacher system. That was one of our biggest jobs at that time. But the most interesting part was they had what's called liquidated damages, which is if you don't finish when you're supposed to finish, you'll get fined. Typically, a job is $5,000 or $10,000 a day. This one had $1 million a day.
Wait. Who fines who? They fine the owner? Who's fining people? The
state? That would be the USC, or maybe they got subsidized by the state, but general contractor would be fined, and they'll pass the fine down to the subcontractor. In this case, it would be us or the bleacher guy. Or
so it's a contract between the contractor and the employer, which would be LA Coliseum, whoever owns it, and the contractor.
Yes.
And they say, look, can you have it done by this date? Yes, we can. Okay, just to make us feel even more comfortable, we're going to put a little clause in there that if you're not, you've got $1 million a day fine?
Yes.
Wow.
And so we put a lot of guys on there and said, get it done ahead of time. And we did.
That's a motivator. So, and how long did that take?
That was probably a 4 or 5 month project for us. But, you know, when you got multiple trades working, doing different things, and they're kicking you around, you can't get in the rhythm of putting your product down. Because you want to work in the left side, and all of a sudden they're telling you to go to the east side and then come back later. And so you kind of lose your momentum, and then the schedule, the clock is ticking. And so that's why we just put more men on there and just worked weekends, worked nights, and got it done.
And boy, you have to be, gosh, how does one, do you do it just the visual inspection, or do you pour water over things? Forgive my naivete here, but how does that, and not to go over the whole process, but how the heck, I'd be so afraid of missing something.
You know, it's a team effort. You know, my business partner and I, and then we have a lot of project managers and office support, field support, and it's a team. You know, we all pitch in and make sure that we get it done on time and under budget.
But you use visual, and then you also will use some technologies, like we talked about earlier, about the moisture detectors and stuff.
There's moisture probes, there's scan meters, there's infrared meters that you can actually pinpoint where things are coming from. But the first one is visual. If you see a crack or a hole, obviously you can pour water on it, like you said, and if it goes right through, then you know it's leaking.
Probably wasn't the most brilliant suggestion I had there, pour water on it.
No problem.
Wow, that is fascinating. So this has been great. It's funny because, like I had mentioned, you were a client of mine. Sunshine works for your company and everything. I saw her and I thought, wow, this is going to be an interesting topic for a podcast. So I'm so glad that you could come out and talk about this, because obviously any structure can leak, and this is something that we all need to know about.
That's
Tell
true.
Our listeners how, if the one wanted to get a hold of you, how do we go about getting a hold of you?
Angeles Waterproofing here in Huntington Beach and San Diego. You can either hit us up at angeleswp.com or just give us a call at 562-941-7676.
Awesome. Well, this has been just great, and I really am grateful for you coming out and doing the show, and hopefully our listeners got something from it. So if you have any questions, everybody, contact him and or me, and please make sure, if you found this useful, to subscribe. If you didn't find it useful, still subscribe so we can bring some more shows to you that everything to do with real estate. So again, thanks everybody for listening. This is Daryl with the Jones Zone, and we'll see you next week. Take care now.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning into the Jones Zone, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. If you found this information and insights shared in today's episode valuable, be sure to head over to iTunes to rate the show, leave a review, and subscribe so that you don't miss another episode. Remember, when it comes to real estate, knowledge is power. Stay informed and stay ahead of the game with us. I'll be back next week with even more expert advice and industry insights. Don't miss it. Thank you.